You are listening to the Internet of Blockchains. Join us as we look closely at how blockchains will communicate, cooperate, and transform our world. Greetings, everyone. I'm Scott Wayman, host and humble curator of the Internet of Blockchains. Welcome to Episode 1, produced in the lovely and verdant downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota. Today, we're going to give an overview of the show, cover some preliminary topics about the podcast in general, and begin our exploration of this new and fascinating technological realm. To sum it up, this episode will be what the show is about and what we want to learn and share with you. Lastly, we'll begin with an introduction of interoperability by defining it and supplying an analogy to help you understand it. All right, let's go. Let's talk about what our objectives are for this podcast. In the broadest sense, our goal is to dig deep into the world of blockchain interoperability and educate newcomers about decentralized technologies and processes. What does that even mean? Interoperability. Decentralized processes. Hang in there, we'll have an in-depth example later. Although the main topic is interoperability, this show is a product of the community which surrounds the BlockNet, a protocol which aims to facilitate connectivity between cryptocurrency and blockchain projects. In addition to all the ongoing aspects of interoperability, I hope to spend an equal amount of time looking at philosophical and social aspects of how the BlockNet protocol, its technology, and related projects are designed and implemented. This may come as a surprise, but if we think about decentralization in a fundamental sense, it's actually about people and how we are going to move toward a way of interacting with one another in a bold, new, and idealistic way. While that may not be clear to you yet, the invention of cryptocurrency is indeed founded on ideas about how we can improve the way we exchange value with each other. The BlockNet is decentralized in a philosophical, organizational, technological, and social sense. So taking a look at how those inform one another will be an especially interesting aspect of the program and something I hope you will come to find as fascinating as I do. We'll hopefully be talking with a wide variety of different people to gain their perspective on all this stuff. I'm interested in hearing from people who are building applications which will benefit from the protocol, both people inside and outside the BlockNet community. We'll hopefully be getting to know these people individually, but also respect anyone's desire to remain pseudonymous. This might sound like a major undertaking and maybe a little bit intimidating. Okay, definitely intimidating, but I think I know myself pretty well, and I like to devote my full attention to the things I find interesting, and the world of cryptocurrencies and decentralization is damned interesting. So I believe the best thing to do is just start making episodes, get feedback from you, yes you, and see where the journey takes us. If you want to get in touch or involved in some way, contact information will be in the show notes. Now let's go over what this program is not about. Firstly, it's not about altcoin trading or technical analysis. Sorry. While we may touch on the fundamental aspects of any particular project when we review its technology, there won't be any price analysis, no predictions, and no recommendations. There's already a ton of that kind of material out there, and I'd like to offer something far different from anything like that. This podcast will also not be heavily monetized. There will be no advertisements or sponsors. This show is both by and for the BlockNet community, and my efforts are a contribution towards supporting it. In short, the goal here is not to make money, but rather for all of us to learn and have fun. You may be wondering, so who is this guy anyway? Well, I'm not a developer or work in the technology field. I'd say I'm just an average person who stumbled headfirst into the crypto economic rabbit hole and wanted to get involved. I came across the BlockNet project and then its community and quickly felt drawn to the goals they have, but also the way in which they go about pursuing them. I took a suggestion from the community to write up an informal proposal for this podcast, and it was quickly funded through the protocol's native asset, which is known simply as Block. In the show notes, there will be a wallet address if you wish to donate Block to compensate me for my time and effort, but I have no expectation of a return. I will also publish the costs needed to keep the show going. Like I said before, my primary goal is to educate myself and others, plus I like making stuff. What can you, the listener, expect from future episodes? I have a preliminary goal of releasing 3 episodes per month, and for an audio interview to be featured in at least one of those 3. I'd like to do more, but it might end up being less. We'll have to see how it goes. Episodes will probably fluctuate between 30 to 60 minutes in length. We're going to focus on the current state of blockchain interoperability overall, But we're also going to look at how the BlockNet is working toward making that happen and go in deeper into the philosophy of the project and how it impacts its development over time. I think this aspect is ripe with possibility and may potentially be the most interesting part to cover. I'd like to conduct interviews with internal BlockNet community members and developers, but also projects that have connected with or are working on implementing the BlockNet protocol. Feel free to suggest candidates for interviews and keep in mind that everyone from the community is welcome to contribute. Is it possible to make the choice of content for the show decentralized? I don't exactly know yet, but I do know that I want your feedback. Regular segments will include news and updates on development, as well as recent accomplishments and setbacks. I'd also like to put a spotlight on the BlockNet applications, basic tutorial walkthroughs and end user reviews, and the most recent Coin a Day announcements since the previous episode. We'll hopefully also have reports on the subjective experience myself and others have using the BlockNet. Finally, the program will provide reviews of BlockNet representation and participation at global blockchain events. Okay, now you have an idea of where we're headed. It's time to dig into an explanation of interoperability. This is the broad focus for the show. It is, after all, called the Internet of Blockchains, or IOB. I'm going to make a leap of faith here and assume that you understand how Bitcoin works and what a blockchain is, even if only in a vague sense. If you don't, or would like a better grasp, I strongly suggest you check out a few of the lectures or interviews given by Andreas Antonopoulos about Bitcoin. For basic information on how to begin participating in the cryptosphere, go listen to the award-winning Crypto 101 podcast. I'll have links in the show notes to both of those. If you need to, hit the pause button, go check those suggestions out, and then come back right here to this spot. So what is interoperability? Why do blockchains need an internet? You may be thinking,
but cryptocurrencies are digital money. They're already on the internet.
And well, that is correct. Let's just
slow things down
and take a closer look. So, Bitcoin is software. It's a program. And part of how it operates requires using the internet to connect to the nodes and miners so that they are able to validate transactions and create blocks. Bitcoin is a program which runs on a computer, and it requires the internet connection to be part of the Bitcoin network. It's a subnetwork of the internet, which stores and transfers value. By itself, that's essentially all it does. It's digital money. Now, let's leave Bitcoin alone for a minute and look at another example, Ethereum. Ethereum is quite similar to Bitcoin in the way it works, except that it has an expanded purpose, to provide computation. Ethereum is also a network, which also requires the internet, and which provides decentralized computation. Ether, the asset which is used to pay for the computation on the Ethereum network, isn't really intended to be used as money, though. Sometimes it is referred to as programmable money, but you can think of Ether more like a resource, such as firewood, food, or gasoline. Ether, like those things, has value, but its value is in the utility, in its ability to accomplish something. So, like Bitcoin, it's a protocol, a software, and a network, which requires the internet to operate. Now let's bring both of our friends together into the same picture. Let's say you have a lot of Bitcoin, but no Ether, and you want to use the Ethereum network to do some computation. If that's the case, you have to use an exchange to trade your Bitcoin for Ether. So the two blockchains, the Bitcoin and Ethereum networks, are similar, but separate subnetworks, both of which use the internet. They're like two different kinds of trees sharing the same soil, or maybe two different instruments in a room together. But right now, these two protocols aren't directly aware of one another. It's almost as if they're deaf, dumb, and blind to the other. So what's the problem? The problem is that these two things are not interoperable. Not what? Interoperable, remember? It's kind of the theme of the show. For me personally, I find the best way to learn about new concepts is to go to the dictionary. So now, in the first part of our word, the word interoperable, we have a common prefix, inter. This part of the word means
between, among, mutually, reciprocally, or together.
The second part of the word is operable, and the dictionary tells us one of the definitions is
able to be put to use.
So if we put the two definitions together, interoperable means
able to be used together.
I wonder if that's any different than just looking up the entry for interoperable itself. Okay, well, looks like it's just a bit different. The definition for interoperable comes up as
capable of being used or operated reciprocally.
Oh, wait, there's a second, more technical definition, which reads
of or relating to the ability to share data between different computer systems.
I really think we have it now. Interoperability, is the ability of two different computer systems to work together by sharing data with one another. I'd now like to take a step back. In two of our definitions, we found the word reciprocal, which means complementary or mutual. I think in the case of blockchain interoperability, this subtlety is quite important.
Because
our two dear friends, Bitcoin and Ethereum, as awesome as they are, they don't have a mutual relationship. They aren't able to share data between each other or communicate with each other directly.
Okay, Scott, fine. We went on this little etymological ride with you, but so what? Why would the Bitcoin and Ethereum networks need to share data anyway? What would communication between the two blockchains even mean or look like? What do they have to say to each other? And if I only have Bitcoin and want to use Ethereum, I can just trade one for the other on an exchange, right?
Well, that's right. We can use an exchange service, and those services are quite useful and valuable. But using an exchange adds an extra step, or if you like, a middleman. The funds would have to come out of my Bitcoin wallet into the exchange to make the swap, and then back out and into an Ethereum wallet. Wouldn't it be more efficient to have our two friends meet face-to-face to interact directly and cooperate? Wouldn't a wallet-to-wallet arrangement be more mutually beneficial? This is what communication between the two chains would be about. When, where, and how much value to transfer. Let's go back to the purpose of Ethereum. What was it again? Oh yeah, a decentralized computer system. We had some Bitcoin, but we wanted to do something on the Ethereum network and needed Ether to pay for it. If the Ethereum network was able to verify my Bitcoin balance and address information, it would be able to see that I can afford whatever it is I want to do on that network. If the two blockchains were interoperable, they could come up with the terms of their proposal, make the trade from Bitcoin to Ether, and then carry out the computations. This is what interoperability will look like. And the good news is, it most definitely is coming.
But how? What's going to make the connection?
This is where the BlockNet comes in. What is the BlockNet? For a detailed description, I suggest reading the white paper found at blocknet.co. It's around 40 pages of text, but it does have some clever images to visually describe what it's doing. For now, we aren't going to cover any of the specifics about the BlockNet.
That's for future episodes.
Just know that it's a protocol with the main function of providing blockchain interoperability. Now I'd like to make an analogy using sound to illustrate this. Remember when I said
there are like two different kinds of trees sharing the same soil, or maybe two different instruments in a room together?
Let's take that second example literally. Let's imagine Bitcoin and Ethereum as if they were instruments, specifically synthesizers. Let's take a listen. Here's Bitcoin. All right, that's a nice sounding store of value right there. And now let's listen to Ethereum with a different sound. Pretty cool, check out those computations. So both Bitcoin and Ethereum are doing their thing. They're really cool, but they're completely unrelated in how they operate. So let's listen to them side by side. First, you'll hear that Bitcoin and Ether are out of tune with one another, and they're not playing in the same tempo. Once we introduce the BlockNet, the two will come into accord with one another. What does the BlockNet sound like? In our example, it's a rhythm. It takes the other two and brings them into one cohesive whole, sort of like a conductor. So now let's put all three together. Here's Bitcoin and Ether. Oh, that is not sounding good. That is not sounding good at all. I think we can all agree that there's room for improvement there. Let's make the two interoperable with the BlockNet protocol. Okay. All three blockchains are now working in concert with each other. It's magical. Wait, no, it's technology. So there you have it. Now you know a little bit about blockchain interoperability. I hope you enjoyed listening to episode 1 as much as I did making it. If you have any suggestions, please find me in the BlockNet Discord server, where you can take a look around and see if you like what's happening. There are lots of friendly, helpful, smart, and very interesting people there. Check the show notes for a link to the Discord server, and share this episode with anyone you think might find some value in it. I'd like to get episode number 2 out pretty soon and go over the roadmap for quarter 3 of 2018, as well as start setting up some interviews and maybe get some feedback about what you would like to hear and learn about. Please don't hesitate to get in touch. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Scott Wayman. Until next time, take it easy and don't forget to go outside once in a while.